This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
So, imagine signing a 5-year commercial lease for like a massive new regional hub in Chicago.
Right. Huge commitment.
Yeah, exactly. And you hire 50 local staff members. You spend a small fortune on office buildouts, and you launch this massive PR campaign.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah, you open the doors on day one and realize a terrifying truth. Nobody in that specific zip code actually wants your product.
Wow. Yeah. It happens every single day in the corporate world, honestly.
It really does. A brand drops millions on a massive expansion only to quietly, you know, board up the windows and retreat a year later.
It is it's a phenomenal gamble. You are essentially betting the survival of a company, or at least a massive chunk of its capital, on a projection.
Right.
A projection that is usually built on sand.
But what if you never had to guess again? What if you could know with strict mathematical certainty that a specific market was hungry for you before you ever signed a single legal document?
Or hired your first employee, yeah.
Exactly. And that is the mission of our deep dive today. We are exploring a completely radical approach to market research.
It's a fascinating one, too.
It really is. We're drawing from a highly compelling 2026 strategy document from Double Dome Digital Marketing, authored by Clark Mago.
Yeah, and Mago presents a framework that just completely dismantles the traditional way businesses think about growth.
Totally.
He's a specialist with a deep background in international media buying for global brands, and he is looking at the mechanics of digital advertising through, a completely different lens than most marketers.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because we're all conditioned to think of Google Ads as like a downstream marketing tool.
Right, exactly.
You build a product, you establish your business in a city, you buy some search keywords, and you just hope someone clicks and buys.
That's the traditional playbook.
But this source materials is flipping the script entirely.
Yeah.
The premise here is to use Google Ads not just to get incremental sales, but as a high-speed, capital-efficient research lab.
Yeah.
It's about validating a new market before your competitors even sense a shift in the wind.
Which represents a profound shift in utility. I mean, it changes the platform from the final step of a business rollout to the very origin point of the entire strategy.
It's huge.
It is. But to understand why this shift is mandatory, we really have to look at the specific economic and technological environment we are operating in right now.
Right, the 2026 landscape.
Exactly. The source material paints a vivid picture of this commercial climate, anchoring heavily on a phenomenon they call the AI slump.
I found this concept so fascinating because, you know, the AI slump isn't about AI failing.
Not at all.
It's about how AI has fundamentally altered human browsing habits. Like, unstructured web traffic has contracted massively.
It has.
People simply aren't endlessly browsing, clicking through 10 different blue links on a search page, or wandering around the web the way they used to.
They don't have to anymore. Artificial intelligence answers their questions directly within the interface. If you need to know the capital of a country, or, say, the best process for supply chain management, an AI model summarizes the answer immediately.
Just right there.
Exactly. Passive web traffic, the act of just browsing to gather information, is shrinking at an unprecedented rate.
And this creates a very dangerous dynamic for businesses, something the text calls the expansion trap.
Oh, the expansion trap is brutal.
Think about how a standard corporate expansion operated for the last few decades. A CEO decides the company needs to grow, so they target a new city.
Standard move.
Right. They hire a prestigious research firm. That firm spends 3 to 6 months pulling historical macro data, looking at demographic trends, and running theoretical surveys.
Yeah, and eventually they hand over a massive, highly subjective PDF summary.
Yes, a PDF that basically says, people in this demographic say they like your product, so you should probably build a factory there.
That's the trap right there.
It is. Basing a massive business expansion on historical macro data is like, I don't know, proposing marriage on the first date based on how popular the person was in their high school yearbook.
That is a great analogy.
I mean, you are looking at old data, asking people hypothetical questions, and hoping their answers translate to a future real-world commitment. It is terrifying.
The capital risk is enormous. And the upfront consultation fees just to acquire that historical data are staggering.
Oh, millions.
We are talking about committing tens of millions of dollars based on the theoretical assumption that a demographic trend will hold true.
And in this 2026 climate, Businesses are out of patience for that model.
Completely out of patience.
If a company is allocating a test budget, they have zero tolerance for agency fluff. Like $15,000 a month budget.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want a 50-page slide deck talking about brand impressions or vague consumer sentiment.
No, they demand empirical data integrity. They want a dashboard proving one simple equation.
Right.
I spent X dollars and I generated Y amount of real revenue. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the contraction of passive traffic is the exact catalyst forcing this demand for accountability.
Right, which makes sense.
But this brings up a crucial tension in the strategy, one that, you know, many traditional marketers struggle to reconcile.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I struggled to reconcile when reading this. I really have to push back on the core premise here.
Okay, let's hear it.
If unstructured web traffic is actively contracting because of this AI slump, isn't spending money on search ads just throwing cash into a void?
Ah, oh, I see what you mean.
I mean, if there are fewer people passively clicking around, aren't digital ads inherently becoming less effective?
I'd argue the reality is the exact opposite.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The contraction of passive traffic is exactly why you need high-precision conversion ecosystems. Mm. You can no longer rely on catching people who are just wandering aimlessly around the internet, hoping they stumble onto your brand.
Oh.
Passive traffic is dead. Therefore, you have to actively buy real-time behavioral data. You aren't just buying clicks. You are buying the active intent of a hyper-specific demographic at the precise moment they open their wallets.
Oh, I see. So instead of casting a massive, expensive net into a shrinking ocean and just hoping you catch something, you're using a highly specialized lure.
Exactly.
You're dropping it in a very specific pond just to see if the exact fish you need to survive are biting today.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. And that brings us directly to the guru insight of this entire strategy.
Right, the real meat of it.
If traditional passive data is dangerous and theoretical surveys are useless, how do you get active, reliable data without betting the house?
Right.
Yeah. You deploy a micro budget.
The 30-day validation engine.
Yes. You bypass the 6 months of research and the expense of consultants. You deploy a highly technical micro-budget testing campaign in your target territory.
So no more waiting around.
Right. You don't spend months researching what might happen. You spend 30 days testing reality.
Okay, let's walk through this to see the mechanics in action. Yeah. Let's say I'm that CEO, and I want to expand my B2B software company into Chicago.
Okay.
Instead of paying an agency for a jargon-filled research report, I take a tiny fraction of that money, say a few thousand dollars, and I run a specialized 30-day isolation campaign on Google Ads targeting Chicago specifically.
What's fascinating here is the profound psychological shift in how you view the consumer. We are moving away from asking people what they might buy on a survey to tracking what they actually click on when they have an urgent problem to solve.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
When you run this micro test, you force real buyers to reveal their active intent. You see immediately if localized search queries actually exist for your specific value proposition in that city.
It is the stark difference between asking someone on the street, like, hey, would you pay $100 for this software?
Right.
And actually putting a buy now for $100 button in front of them while they are actively searching for a solution and seeing if they click it. People lie on surveys. They don't lie with their credit cards.
Exactly. It replaces subjective theory with mathematical proof. And what this microtest reveals is the precise cost required to command the position of what the source calls the preferred answer.
The preferred answer.
Yes, within that region. If someone in Chicago searches for your exact service, how much does it cost you to be the number one result they see and click?
Which gives you your exact customer acquisition cost, your CAC, for a market you don't even physically exist in yet.
And here is the beauty of the engine. It provides the ultimate corporate off-ramp.
The off-ramp, yeah.
If the 30-day data returns an astronomically high customer acquisition cost or terrible lead-to-click ratios, you aren't trapped in a 5-year commercial lease.
You just gracefully sunset the experiment.
Exactly.
You turn off the ads from your laptop. You lost a minimal test budget, but you saved your company tens of millions of dollars in a doomed expansion. You essentially paid a tiny premium for the truth.
On the flip side, if the data validates the market, if people are clicking, and the cost to acquire those verified leads is highly profitable, then you have unlocked your exact scaling blueprint.
Oh, wow.
You walk into the boardroom knowing definitively that the demand is real, and you know down to the penny how much it will cost to capture it.
I love the philosophy. Stop guessing, start testing. It makes perfect logical sense.
It really does.
But execution is where theory usually falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the concept is great, but building this validation engine requires absolute surgical precision.
Oh, absolutely.
If you just throw a few $1,000s at Google Ads without knowing what you're doing, you're just going to burn your micro budget on bad clicks and get terrible data.
Yeah.
So how exactly do we execute this?
This is where the specific 3-tier testing framework outlined in the strategy comes into play. It is a very strict, highly technical blueprint designed to ensure absolute data integrity.
Okay, let's hear tier one.
The first step involves what the text refers to as geofenced intent isolation.
Let's dig into the mechanics of that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm testing Chicago, I can't just tell Google to target the whole state of Illinois or even the whole city of Chicago loosely, right?
Yeah, no.
The strategy says we have to isolate the exact zip codes, specific metropolitan zones, or even specific corporate hubs like the financial district.
Because broad geography dilutes your data. If your software is for enterprise logistics, targeting residential suburbs in Chicago completely ruins your metrics.
Right.
You only want data from the zip codes where enterprise logistics companies actually operate.
And the same logic applies to the keywords themselves, right?
Yeah.
The source is adamant about this. You must bypass broad keywords entirely.
Yes. Broad keywords invite vague intent. If you bid on the word logistics, you might get like college students researching a supply chain essay.
Oh, true.
You want hyper-specific long-tail search strings that contain high commercial purchase intent.
So I don't bid on accounting. I bid on forensic accounting services for manufacturing corporations in zip code 60601.
Spot on.
I'm isolating the exact intent in the exact geography.
By doing that, every single click you pay for is a highly qualified, localized lead. And once you capture that click, you move to the second step of the framework, which involves the landing page scaffolding.
This stood out to me as the most common mistake companies make. The source explicitly warns, never, under any circumstances, link these exploratory ads to a generic corporate homepage.
Never. A generic homepage is a digital brochure built for everyone, which means it is optimized to convert absolutely no one specifically.
Okay.
It's full of about us fluff and generic mission statements. For a validation test to yield mathematically sound data, you have to deploy dedicated localized landing pages built on an optimized conversion layout.
Built specifically for that micro market.
Yes.
So if someone searches for forensic accounting in 6601, they need to land on a page that says, we are the premier forensic accountants for manufacturing in the 6601 zip code. The friction has to be zero.
Zero friction. Exactly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. And this is where I need you to walk me through the technical reality.
Yeah.
Because I have a massive concern.
Okay. What's the concern?
If we are targeting highly specific zip codes with a tight micro budget, aren't we incredibly vulnerable? Ad fraud is a multi-billion dollar industry.
It is.
Couldn't a few sophisticated AI bot scripts or competitor spam bots just click drain my entire experiment budget in 2 days before I get any real human data? I mean, modern bots can perfectly mimic human clicking behavior.
It is the single most dangerous threat to micro budgets, and your skepticism is completely justified. If bots drain your budget, your data is compromised, your customer acquisition cost looks artificially inflated, and your multi-million dollar expansion decision is based on a total lie.
Right. So how do we stop it?
The strategy directly addresses this through the technical architecture of those localized landing pages. They aren't just visual HTML pages. They're highly secure environments embedded with first-party server-side tracking.
Okay, break down server-side tracking for me. How does a localized landing page actually outsmart an AI bot?
Well, traditional tracking relies on the user's browser cookies, essentially. Bots can easily spoof browsers and accept cookies to look real. Okay.
Server-side tracking moves the verification to your actual web server. When a click happens, the server deploys invisible honeypot fields forms that humans can't see, but bots automatically fill out.
Now, that's clever.
It is. And it analyzes behavioral biometrics, like the specific cadence of mouse movements and scroll velocity. A human reads and scrolls erratically. A script scrolls with mathematical perfection.
So the server is actively interrogating the behavior on the page in milliseconds to verify if it's a carbon-based life form.
Precisely. I mean, yes, that is exactly the mechanism. It filters out automated scripts in real time before they can pollute your data pool.
Which brings a really cool human element back into this highly technical document. Earlier, I noticed the bio for the author, Clark Mago, mentioned his deep passion for cooking for his loved ones and playing basketball in his free time.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
It struck me as a funny detail for a dense business strategy piece, but it actually perfectly mirrors this technical step. He is obsessed with filtering out the noise to find real, messy human behavior.
That's a great connection.
He doesn't care about bot traffic.
Right.
He wants to measure the intent of actual people living real lives.
The entire philosophy hinges on authentic human action. You protect the integrity of the microbudget so that every dollar is spent gathering data on genuine human intent.
Right.
And once you have that pristine data pool, you move to the evaluation phase, which is tier 3. This focuses on algorithmic velocity metrics.
So over this strict 30-day testing cycle, you aren't just looking at a raw number of clicks. You are benchmarking specific performance variables to build a case.
Exactly. You analyze the cost per lead to see if the economics make sense. But more importantly, you look at your search impression share.
What does that tell you?
This metric tells you how much of the available market demand you are actually capturing versus what you are losing to competitors.
Oh, so it gives you the exact mathematical ammunition needed to walk into a boardroom, pull up a live dashboard, and justify a permanent expansion.
Mm-hmm. You don't hand the CEO a fluffy PDF.
Mm-hmm.
You say, in these three specific zip codes, using these specific commercial terms, we spent X dollars and we collected Y verified, localized human leads.
It's bulletproof. But the strategy introduces a final metric in this evaluation phase that is completely unique to the 2026 landscape. It is something they call AI citation share.
Let's spend some time here because this is where the whole strategy kind of evolves into science fiction, even though it's our current reality.
Right.
We've secured the human clicks, we've filtered out the bots. But as we discussed at the top of the show, we are in the middle of this AI slump. Conversational engines are dominating how people seek solutions.
Yes, they are.
How does a micro-targeted search ad strategy account for AI?
Oh, this is the part that completely blows my mind.
Yeah.
This raises an important question about the very future of digital commerce. We aren't just talking about winning a traditional search auction anymore. That's just the baseline. The real goal in 2026 is to ensure your brand possesses the semantic relevance required to be actively recommended by AI models.
You're talking about models like Gemini, Claude, and ChatGPT.
Exactly.
Because that's where the high-value buyers are increasingly going. They aren't typing 5 keywords into a search bar. They are asking a conversational chatbot for a highly specific recommendation.
Yes. And this is where the technical backbone of the strategy gets incredibly sophisticated. To build this AI citation share, the document explains that you must analyze local data structures and wrap all of your digital assets in semantic code.
Semantic code. Let's break the mechanics of that down because it sounds like heavy developer jargon, but it's actually the secret sauce of the whole operation.
It really is. Think of semantic code, specifically schema markup and entity relationship mapping, as giving the artificial intelligence the exact context it craves.
Okay, context.
A traditional keyword strategy just tells a search engine, this page contains the words forensic accounting. The AI doesn't inherently understand what that means.
Right, it's just matching text.
Exactly, but semantic coding structures the data on your landing page so that a machine learning algorithm understands the actual relationships between the real world concepts.
So you are literally writing code for machines to read so the machines will understand your value and recommend you to humans.
That is exactly the mechanism. It tells the AI, Entity A is a forensic accounting firm. It is geographically located in Entity B, this exact zip code.
Oh, wow.
It is highly rated by Entity C manufacturing clients, and it offers these specific turnaround times. You are configuring machine learning signals.
So when that CEO in Chicago asks Gemini, who is the most reliable forensic accountant for a complex supply chain audit in the downtown loop?
The AI's underlying logic connects the dots.
And points directly to your localized landing page as the only logical answer.
Exactly. Semantic relevance becomes the ultimate competitive moat. Because if the AI doesn't understand your relevance through that semantic code, to an AI, you literally do not exist in that market, period.
That is wild. You could spend $20 million on traditional billboards and brand awareness. But if your AI citation share isn't established, the modern high-intent buyer will never even see you as an option.
Nope, never. This validation engine forces you to build that semantic relevance from day one on a micro scale before you ever roll it out macro.
It's wildly proactive rather than reactive. The source compares it directly to traditional market research, which is purely reactive.
Mm-hmm.
It just follows visible market trends that have already happened.
Right.
This strategy allows you to secure digital market share before your rivals even realize the demand is shifting in a specific city.
It creates an automated, self-sustaining growth engine. It secures your market footprint independent of how search technology updates next month or next year.
Because you've laid the groundwork.
Exactly. You aren't chasing the algorithm of the week. You are structurally proving your relevance to the machine and your tangible value to the human simultaneously.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Whether you are an entrepreneur, someone working in corporate strategy, or just a lifelong learner fascinated by how modern commerce is evolving beneath the surface, the underlying philosophy here is incredibly profound.
It is a definitive call to stop guessing and start owning your data.
In an era of absolute information overload, compounded by these massive shifts toward AI-driven answers, theoretical surveys and historical macro data are essentially obsolete.
Obsolete, yeah.
Empirical, real-time behavioral data is the only reliable compass you have left. You don't need more passive web traffic. You need more verified customers.
And you find them by forcing real buyers to reveal their intent in a controlled, mathematically sound 30-day environment.
It completely de-risks growth. It transforms the concept of expansion from a terrifying leap of faith into a calculated, mathematically proven scaling blueprint.
It's a total game changer.
It really is. Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with, something to chew on long after we wrap up here. We've spent this entire time analyzing this framework in the context of major corporate expansions, massive budgets, and regional commercial leases.
Right.
But the core mechanic here, testing active intent with micro-targeted semantic data, is incredibly adaptable.
Where are you going with this?
Well, if a 30-day geofenced micro-campaign can perfectly validate market demand before a business even exists in that area, could you use this exact same framework on a personal level?
Now, that is a fascinating extrapolation.
Think about it for your own life. Imagine using micro-targeted ads with semantic coding to test two different versions of your professional resume or your creative portfolio.
Oh, wow.
Say you want to make a massive career pivot, or you want to relocate to a new city for work. Instead of just guessing what employers in that city want and hoping your resume hits the right desk, what if you geofenced specific corporate zip codes where your dream companies are headquartered?
And ran a micro-budget campaign for yourself.
Exactly. You could run a micro-budget campaign tracking the active intent of recruiters who click on your specialized semantic-coded landing pages.
You'd see the data instantly.
You could see exactly which version of your portfolio generates the most server-verified clicks from the financial district before you commit tens of thousands of dollars to going back to school, or before you pack up your family and move across the country.
You would be applying the 30-day validation engine to your own professional market demand. That is brilliant.
If massive corporations no longer have to guess before they commit to an expansion, maybe you don't have to guess either. We started this deep dive talking about the fear of a blind commit, the sheer terror of signing that regional lease without knowing if the market wanted you.
Yeah, the expansion trap.
This 2026 framework proves that the era of blind commits, both corporate and maybe even personal, is officially over. The tools to see the future, or at least to mathematically validate the reality of the present, are right there in the dashboard. You just have to be willing to run the test.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.